That thing is, yeah.
All right, now we're good. All right, stand. Journey class, welcome.
Fifteen minutes. All right.
Here's one mic.
What am I supposed to do with this, buddy? You're scaring me to death. They're wiring me up to electrocute me.
Yeah.
Pat, is this the shut-off button? Have I ever criticized you for anything? You're...
Oh, no. Let me get one more.
Amen.
I do like that shirt.
Thank you, brother.
You bet, sir.
Amen.
You have it long enough.
I am excited to see this group of people in here. Praise the Lord. So what do I got to do with this thing?
You might put it in your pocket. That's what I do.
All right.
And it's on hold.
All right.
Turn off.
Well, I'll tell you what.
All right. I'm going to get back here.
I don't think you wired President Trump up like this, did you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to see the happy faces. Steve had called me several weeks ago, or a couple weeks ago. Boy, it's a spur of the moment, and I thought, no. You know what? We've got a lot of trouble in America today and around the world. Just like it was prayed about the roaring of the sea and the waters. People talk about me being an evangelist. I am just like you, a get in the flesh. My encouragement for you is to go back to the day that you were born again and relive it. I have to continually do that after several millions of miles over the road. And listen, you talk about, I work in an area now where people have one face. They're either drunk or they're froze to death up in North Dakota. I'm serious. And I struggle witnessing it to them. So I take a conversation that they choose whenever they start talking to me. If I prayed that morning, did you hear what I said? If I prayed that morning, the Lord turns that conversation around back to Him every time. Wow. If I haven't, and I've got up in the flesh, it doesn't happen. My advice to every one of you, and anyone, as I'm going to say soul winning. That's what the Bible calls, because Proverbs 11:13 says, a man that winneth souls is wise. Now, we don't save anyone. Jesus Christ paid debt 2,000 years ago. But we are to be His mouthpieces. And every one of you have a different testimony from what I've got, from what Pat's got, from what you've got, ma'am. It's good to see you today. I saw your car out there and got excited. I haven't been in a Sunday school class in months. But listen, we all have a testimony that is unique. I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time on mine because I was a heathen before I got saved. And I don't want to live the past. We go back into that enough. But I'm telling you, the man that led me to Christ must have been praying, because one Sunday afternoon, my son brought his future daddy-in-law over to my house out of Cleveland, Missouri. And that man asked me a question I had never heard before. Now, I was raised religious by my parents. But it was religion, and people were killing over religion. But he asked me about my soul, and I think I gave him a cussing. When he left, and he invited me to church here in Harrisonville. When he left, my wife, Lisa, looked at me and said, Stan, you've got to settle down. You're going to have a heart attack. I was livid. I mean, I was infuriated. I understand what Paul went through when he was going out to kill Christians, because I had that anger over religion and self-righteousness. But it bugged me to the point that I called Lisa from Warrenton, Missouri, and I said, don't make plans for next Sunday. We're going to Harrisonville, Missouri, and we're going to shut that preacher's mouth.
Oh, wow.
I'm serious. I went to shut his mouth. I done stole Lisa from another man, robbed her of her kids, her and I, messed up a marriage, and I won't get deep into it, but I go to church, and I carried a Bible since I was a child, and I read the Bible, but I was lost. It didn't mean anything. Listen, folks, you don't know who you're going to reach or who you're going to meet that's going to need what you've got to say. I'm telling you, I have relived it. And do I have to stand in front of that thing?
No, no.
And relived it.
That's my job.
Every time I turn around, just relived it. Because you know what? It was a saving grace of Jesus Christ that brought me to where I'm at today. And it's that same grace that keeps me going every day.
Amen.
If you never fall in love with someone, fall in love with Jesus. Jesus saved my marriage, because Lisa and I were on the rocks some years after we got saved. I thought, what is going on? But it was Jesus Christ that put it back together, because through the Word of God, it said, if you'll draw nigh unto Him And what's his first institution is marriage. So he can save a marriage. He can save a life. He can save a life to eternity. But he could take your life and change someone's life for eternity, and you will never, ever, ever, ever know it. A few weeks ago, Lisa and I, she likes Mexican food. I don't care a whole lot for it, but I eat it because my wife loves it. So I take her up here at the Mexican restaurant. And we're sitting there. And listen to the Holy Spirit when you're sitting somewhere. And there were five young Mexican boys that walked in. I nudged Lisa. I said, look at that young man right there. He's well-dressed. I said, look at his ball cap. He loves America. And I told the waiter, I said, look, I want to pay for their meal. And he said, sir, I said, please give me the ticket. And I handed five gospel tracts. I believe in gospel tracts. And Pat said, you're going to use Way of the Master gospel tracts. And that's great. But I handed five gospel tracts to that waiter. And I said, please, please, please. Just happened 2 weeks ago. I said, hand every one of them. And I want them to read them. Do you know that before they ate, they read their gospel tracts? When Lisa and I walked out, and I was humbled by it. They thanked us. The waiters thanked us. How and when we know if they ever got born again, we'll never know. But you know what? It's like a 401k program, only better. It doesn't depreciate. It does not depreciate. It'll never depreciate. Get discouraged? Yeah, you'll get discouraged. David did. I believe Paul did. I know Peter did. Well, I've got a verse I read this morning in my Bible reading that I'd like to share with you. And I know every one of you have heard it. It's Proverbs chapter 3. It's very simple, and I'm sure you've heard it time and time and time again. But this speaks to my heart all the time. I memorized this when I first got saved. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. I love this verse. Verse 5 and verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do I need to wait? We got some waiting or needing to find it. Take your time. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Why, Lord, you have me in a situation like this or like this and like this where someone does what Stan Plew did almost 26 years ago. You never know who you're going to affect. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge the Lord for what He's doing in your life. Whether it hurts or it doesn't hurt. There's a lot of hurt, but you know what? If we hurt for Christ's sake, He said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Yeah. Our persecution, brother, today is just in words, really. For now. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You never know where He's going to lead you. With your car breaking down, or maybe your bank book's a little low, and somebody steps up to the plate, and you just never know what's going to happen in your life. And I'm telling you, there's a whole lot younger than I am. There's no one as old as I am. Matthew 5:16. I like to preach this in the prisons. This is and in the jails. I've used it a lot. And I use it on myself. How many of you remember the old Sunday school song, This Little Light of Mine? You ever hear? Huh? Now, you know what? As we taught that to kids in Sunday school, Lisa and I did for years, but it hit me like a ton of rocks. So, wait a minute. If I could teach kids that, why aren't I using that? It says, let your light, you notice that's personal, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Yeah. See, it's personal. Now, I flunked English, but boy, I'll tell you what, the King James Bible brings it right out. Let your. It's your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And that's a light that ought to be radiant. If it's not, you need to repent. So shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, you don't work to get saved, but you know what? It's a job presenting yourself in the Spirit of God instead of the Spirit of the flesh. Yeah. It is a hard time. It's especially today. I'm a person that's vocal, and I've had to be humbled a lot, especially after this COVID thing. I've not been in church very much. A church I went up to in North Dakota, I moved away because a lot of this COVID thing. Listen, that's a lost nation up there. And it's... And I don't shame the name of Christ, but I had to bury myself in the Word of God. And every day, I beg you, listen, before you start your day, I don't know how your Bible time is and that's between you and the Lord. But spend your time in the Word of God and let Him fill you and make your diet for you. And it says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Whenever we see things that the Lord gives us little nuggets out of people's lives, and when we respect that, you're going to love it. David spoke of it in Psalms in several places. How God had taken him from the sin of Bathsheba. For a whole year he lived in sin. But when he repented, the rejoicing and the Psalms that come out of that. Now I'm not promoting sin. I will not. But I have a flesh just like you do. And I know that grace of God aboundeth more than my flesh can, if we'll let Him. And I'm going to cut it short, and I beg you, please, don't. You're going to get discouraged, but listen, good runners, Paul said this was a marathon race, good runners, when they fall, don't stay down, they get trampled.
That's true.
They get up, and they go. But can I pray, and then I'm going to finish.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for this fine group of people, dear God. And Lord, thank you for the ability to stand and just put together the words of your gloriousness, Lord. And I can't speak great enough words to show your might and your power. And oh God, bless these folks as only you can. Be with them today and now and forever, Lord. I pray that the lights of Christ would shine throughout our missionary purposes and areas here and beyond that we could even imagine. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you can unwire me here before I get electrocuted.
Yeah.
Panel. I'll let you grab that, bub.
Yeah, it's all jacked up. There we go. Pretty cool. Thanks, Nick.
And you need this.
Oh, yeah, I need that too.
All right.
All right, perfect. Now, I can pass those out, Pat, if you want.
You can pass them out?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we have the workbooks that Steve talked about last week. And I'll leave that here. Here we go, number two. Thank you. All right, the Way of the Master workbooks we talked about last week. Church bought them. They were $5, and then we're just asking that everybody chip in, throw $5 in the offering plate.
Thank you.
They'll offset this. Or do you have one? Or
I have a new thing.
You need that one too?
Well, for me, I'll get it.
Yeah, you can take it. Oh, yeah, sure, you need one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got plenty.
I'm just going to borrow it. I have one.
You know it. All right.
I just left it out, so I have it.
Oh, it's over. Morning, Jeff. What we got to do, put an envelope?
I got a box.
Yeah, a box.
Yeah.
All right.
I got to put an envelope through it.
Not necessarily.
No, the church bought it, so
oh, yeah, there's those wooden boxes. Okay, so we don't do the offering plates anymore.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. I'm so glad you're here today. And I'm excited to begin this new series. Really, Way of the Master is, and I've been through it a couple times, and it's been many years. And I tell you, it's something that it's just amazing the way you can use it. Because, you know, we do things like Stan said. I love that. The simplicity of the gospel. He said, what I try to do is remember what happened when I got saved and do it and say it. Think about it, repeat it again and again, just again and again. That's what we do. That's what salvation is. The Lord saves our soul, and we think about where we were and what we went through, and we just repeat it again and again, you know, to people. That's what we were saved to do. That's what the Lord saved us for, right? Amen?
Amen.
So, there's nothing greater in life to feel and experience God's power than to share your testimony and share the gospel. You know it? It's like no other experience. It's what we were born again to do. Right? And so as Jim and as Steve have, you know, set and taught throughout this year and started with missions and then discipleship and now evangelism, it's like the full cycle. It's the full life cycle of what God intended us to do. And I've heard it many times that missions is the heartbeat of God, right? Or I've heard discipleship is the heartbeat of God. And I've heard evangelism is the heartbeat of God. Because all three really flow together in that life cycle that we go through as we grow. But I like the way it was patterned this year. I was thinking about it because you think, you know, evangelism maybe should have been at the beginning. But, you know, it belongs at the end because that's how we grow. We need to learn to get out of ourselves and look at the world the way God looks at it and look at missions. And then we need to be discipled. We need to be taught and trained, right? So we can know how God thinks and how He looks at things. And so that it begins to change our hearts. But when we share the gospel and actually go out and think about people that are lost, we have to get out of our comfort zone and get out of ourselves. And that's what the Way of the Master talks about when you get into the book. And today I want to do just a basic introduction to the book. And I want to ask you today, okay, I want to ask you, if you can make a commitment in these next 3 months, make a commitment to come here every Sunday, and just like discipleship, how many of you have been through discipleship? Right? I think most of us. In discipleship, you meet with your sponsor every week, right? You go through the lessons, the 16 lessons, like we talked about over the last few months. And you do the exercises, right? And you learn to apply God's principles found in His Word to your life. And it begins to change you like nothing else, right? The Way of the Master is the same thing. It's discipleship for evangelism, because really, evangelism is discipleship, and evangelism is missions. It's the heartbeat of God, right?
Yeah.
So we need to get the heart of God, you know. And I went on a domestic mission trip to Monmouth back about 3 or 4 years ago. And I was talking to a missionary, and I asked him, I said, how did you know God was calling you to the mission field? Or how did He call you to the mission field? And he shared with me this verse. And this verse, just like he said, this verse always troubled me. But the verse is Psalm 37:4. So if you want to open it up and look at this, I'll show you what he shared with me. And it's amazing.
Psalm 37:4.
Yes. Psalm 37:4. Who wants to read that? Does anybody want to read that?
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. It's kind of confusing to us who come from a life of sin or addiction or the lives that we all come from in the flesh, right? Delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shared with me how God had to begin to do a work in his heart, because he was from a background of addiction, like I was. And he said, God, you know, I've delighted myself in so many things in life. But this says, delight thyself also in the Lord, right? We have to learn to delight ourselves in the Lord. That's not an easy thing. We have to grow to be able to do that, right? We have to learn to be able to do. We have to train ourselves to overcome the flesh. God has to train us, doesn't He? So, and but when we do, and I swear, there's nothing like evangelism. Stan knows. He's been out and on the streets many, many times, and I've seen him. There's nothing like sharing the gospel, because God's Holy Spirit gets involved. The flesh gets shut down. It has to, or you won't be successful. Now, I've had times where I wasn't successful, and I failed miserably. You know, but when God gets involved, it has a way of humbling you and giving you the courage that it takes to share the gospel. So as I ask for your commitment, I know the immediate thing is, you know what, the flesh can come up with so many excuses, you know, and especially like we can commit to things early. But then that long-lasting commitment of what it takes to go through this, because this is going to be like a basic training course. That's the way it's explained in the introduction. It's like basic training. And I'm going to go over some of the things that we go through throughout the weeks. But what I want to ask is that you all commit to this, not to be a soul winner. Right? We think of that, and I hear people say, and I've heard, had people say, oh, you're a soul winner. No. God wins the souls, like Stan said. You know what? We are soul warners. Right?
Oh, that's good.
We need to warn, and that's what the way of the masters really teaches, right? I get the daily devotionals from Mike Van Horn.
Oh, yeah.
He did a vision conference here about what 3 years ago, yeah. 4 years ago, and it was on evangelism. And man, he was talking about it and telling you got to put your put your tracks in your holster and you got to go out. Well, he says time and time again. He says I'm not. Don't be a soul winner. Right? That gets you involved. Take you out of the equation and ask God to use you and become a soul warner. And there's no other way, you know. I've also heard this, that people, you know, think that, make the mistake thinking, well, I can't share the gospel with somebody that I haven't first developed a relationship with, right? And that's somewhat true, because you need to care for the person's soul. That's what evangelism is. It's imparting your soul. It's caring. It's showing empathy, right? So, I mean, we do need to develop a relationship somewhat, but you can develop a relationship with somebody in like 3 minutes. If you show them that you sincerely are caring for their soul, right? If you, the way of the master, and as we go through this, I want you to look at it, and think about it every day of your week. Do it like discipleship. Go through the lesson, do the exercises, come here, share, we'll all share, and we'll do scenarios and things like that, and let it change your heart so your heart will become like the heart of God. Okay? Consider that. Well, but I ask that you commit to it, because I tell you, if you're not committed to actually practicing it, you'll probably be miserable, and you might want to go to somebody else's class for the next few months, right? Because it will push you to get out of your comfort. And I know it's scary for new believers or people that are new to the church. It's scary, but you know what? It's scary for all of us in our flesh, like Stan said. But when God takes control, I tell you, it's like an out-of-body experience. There's no greater thing. Kevin and I got to share the gospel with two people this week that came to know Christ. And you know what? We both said, man, it's like God just took over the whole situation. And we were just there. We were just available, right?
It's weird because we prayed before on Sunday or Friday, and I was prompted to write the Romans Road down in my Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the first time I ever felt prompted to do that, so I did it. And I had been praying for like a month earlier, you know, because I was getting worn out, you know, just after getting rejected, you know. And I was like, you know, just let me see somebody come to salvation. And then I was prompted to write the Romans Road down, and I got to use it that day.
Right. That's good.
Yeah,
it was great. It was great to see. I mean, you could just see God was in control the whole night.
Yeah.
And it's really strange when you just make yourself available and willing for God to use you. It's amazing how people, we're not called to like know all. The thing that we fear the most is we think people are going to reject me. You know, first of all, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the gospel, okay? And that's all we're to present, to warn, right? And the other thing is we think that they'll reject us because we have this fear because we think, well, maybe I don't know what to say, or I'm not prepared, or I'm not, you know, all these things. What?
Never prepared.
We're never prepared, really, because we just have to be open to God to use us. Because like Stan said, we all, if you're born again, you can tell someone else how you got born again, what God was doing in your life. It's just that simple. And your testimony is the most powerful thing that you possess. You know? Yeah, Stan?
To go with what you said, always be prepared. I go to the prisons, or used to, before COVID, and we went to St. Joe, Missouri, and there were just two of us going into prison. Usually there's a team of seven of us, because that's a big prison.
Yeah.
We go in, I think it's on a Wednesday, and the evangelist checked in on a Wednesday at the motel. He said the Holy Spirit told him to give this desk clerk a gospel tract. He said, no. He said, I want to get in the room.
Yeah.
He was Lord with himself.
Yeah.
So he goes up with the key card, and his room wouldn't open. And the Holy Spirit said, I told you to give him a tract. All right. So he goes back out. Now, he's traveled from Alabama up to St. Louis. It's a long trip. He's worn.
Yeah.
But see our, get the hint on your flesh versus the spirit. Mm-hmm. So he goes out to that suburban, gets a gospel tract, walks down to the desk, and lays it down in the flesh. Give him a key, and the key worked. Well, I show up on a Thursday, and we go in, and we're pounding that pavement hard. Saturday night, everything's going good. I think it's Friday night or Saturday night, we go in and the toilet had stuck open and flooded up.
Yeah.
And the evangelist in the flesh. And you got to remember, there used to be an evangelistic group that for Satan out of Kansas or somewhere said the world was coming to
him. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was that year. Now, listen how God could take what Satan does and lead someone to Christ. I said, brother, I'll clean them up. No, we're going to change rooms. So he calls the front desk, and this same great big fellow that looked like a tree come in there. And I'm sitting beside the windows, and I'm praying. Don't ask me why I started praying, but I was praying.
Yeah.
And he comes in, and Brother Rice says, did you read that piece of paper I gave you? And he said, well, what about the world coming to an end? And at that same very moment, lightning struck outside the window. Oh, and thunder so big, that big guy hit the ground like he'd been sawed. I'm telling you, and he hit that floor. And he said, what's he doing? He said, he's praying for your soul.
Right.
Whoa.
That man says, what do I need to do to get saved? Immediately.
Right.
You don't know the power that God will give you if you'll just, whether it looks stupid or not, just do it. I'll never forget that day.
Right.
And we both just laughed and said, can you believe this?
Yeah.
And
right.
And a man saved over a plugged up toilet.
Yeah. It's amazing.
But listen, the book of Judas says, and others saved with fear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Out of the fire.
Right.
Even the garment spotted by the flesh.
Right.
That's for the lost person as well as us. So
right. That's the soul warners.
That's it.
Yeah. Right. Thanks for sharing that.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, yeah. There's
my heart.
No, that's perfect, because there are so many things. We learn our lessons. We're doing the way of the master, and we learn, we get our example from Christ, and what he's really, this book is so great about. It opens up the keys to evangelism, because you bypass the intellect. We don't get into, you know, these arguments that people have made all the, these arguments up in evangelism, and it almost becomes just a big debate. And that is scary, because you're not going to win anybody by debating them. You prove them wrong, you've lost. You've lost them, right? So the thing is, you bypass the intellect with the way of the master, the way you use the law, the Ten Commandments. I always thought, Ten Commandments? But you, God has placed that in every man's conscience. It says it's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, right? God speaks to us through our conscience. He speaks to lost people. It's that interim place where he can speak. And the law gives them evidence of the sin, that we're all sinners, because you can't deny it. And it's great how they go through it. Have you ever told a lie?
You know,
and if they say no, that way everybody's lying. Come on, you never lied about anything. Have you ever stolen anything? And you're a thief. You know, did we get the video? Did we do the video? Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that in a second. But the thing is there are tons of videos out there on YouTube, Way of the Master, and we're going to go through one every week, okay? And they just help to give you security to see that you've got all the tools God equipped you with when you were born again. You know, you've got the Bible. You've got the mind of Christ. Now, that may make you afraid right there, because you may not know a lot about it. But you've got what God has given you at salvation. You've got your testimony. You know what happened, right? And there's lots of people out there where it's so much better if you just tell them what was real, what really happened in your life when you got saved. Give them your testimony versus the Bible. Because a lot of people, especially nowadays, they don't want to hear the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. They don't want to believe the Bible. You know? I mean, we still have to get it. But your testimony, you can talk about what Christ did to save you. And what happened, and how you were before, and how you thought, because we all think the same way, you know, as sinners, as lost people. We all think the same way. We think we're right. We think we know more than God or anybody else. So, anyway, so, yeah, Jim, I guess we can do the video, and then I think it's about 4 minutes.
Bluetooth connected.
You know, I mean, we still have to get it, but your testimony, you can talk about what Christ did to save you.
Stop.
And what happened. And how you were before, and how you thought, because we all think the same way. You know, as sinners, as lost people.
It's Sherry.
You were projecting, Sherry.
Everything went to sleep.
All right. Get the Ten Commandments. Do you consider yourself to be?
Hey, Mr. Zimmerman. Hey, Mr. Would you please take that light for us?
Thank you. This is
Zimmerman. I can't remember your first name. I just remembered Zimmerman.
All right.
Are you? Is that Sean?
Yeah, like Pat said.
Is he Mr. Zimmerman?
The Way of the Master has a YouTube channel with a lot of these videos, so it's really cool. I used to watch them coming home from work.
I watch them all week. You need it? You need it?
Well, we might set it here. Oh, okay. Temporary.
Very close, wasn't it?
A good person?
In most ways, I do.
I know.
Yeah, I know I'm not like the perfect person, because obviously nobody's perfect, but I consider myself a fairly good person.
Okay, if we look at the Ten Commandments, at God's law, to see if that's true, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we'll go through the commandments to see if that's true. Now, the first one is, have you ever lied?
Yeah.
You see how they bypass the conscience? I mean, bypass the intellect and.
What do you call it when someone tells lies? What do you call them? Liars? So what would you be? A liar? Amanda, have you ever stolen anything?
When I was little, yes.
Yes, so yes. When someone steals, what do you call that?
A stealer.
Another word for stealer.
Liar?
When you steal stuff.
Thief, that's a good one.
Okay, thief. So Amanda, you've already admitted to me that you're a liar and you're a thief. And the Bible says that you shall not commit adultery, and Jesus said that if you've looked at someone in lust, then you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at a person with lust?
Probably, yeah. Not, it's not like a common occurrence, but I've
looked at a man. So
yeah.
Okay, Amanda, by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, adulterer at heart. Do you still consider yourself a good person? Okay, when you stand before God on Judgment Day, are you going to be innocent or guilty?
As of now, guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Probably hell.
Wow.
Does that concern you, Amanda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see your heart, Amanda. And do you know what God did for you so you don't have to go to... He did something special for you, Amanda. Do you know what that is? He sent his son, his one and only son, to die on that cross and take the punishment for you. And if you repent of your sins, all the things that you've ever done against the Lord, and put your trust in Jesus Christ, he will cleanse you of all your sins, and he'll come and live inside your heart. And then when you die, you can go to heaven. Do you want to do that today, man? Do you want to pray on camera, or do you want to step off, or... To pray right now, here and now. I mean, I can see that you're sorry for your sins, and if this is what you really want to do, if you want Jesus to change your life and save you from your sins, he'll do that for you right now. God is here, he's real, he's alive, and he wants to change you. He wants to come and give you a new life, to make you a new creation in Jesus Christ. Do you want to pray? You just go ahead and pray with your heart. I don't...
Jesus, I'd just like to thank you so much for this opportunity today to meet up with these people. I have never had my eyes opened so real before. I always thought that I wasn't that bad of a person, but it just kind of slapped me in the face today. I just like you to cleanse me, Lord, of all my sins. Please just give me the strength to live for you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Wow. Wow, can you flip that light on? That's it. Man, that is amazing. Did you see? I mean, that was not orchestrated. That wasn't made up. That was real. And wish to God that it could, you know, always be that way and you could do that because... But, I mean, it totally took the argument out of it. And she just could share the gospel. And you can't deny, your conscience bears witness, right? To the things, to the law, to the things of God, like Romans 2:15 says. It bears witness to the light that God has placed within every man and woman. You know? And that's why this is, Way of the Master, this course, this basic training course that we're going to go through, hopefully. Are we all going to go through it? Right. Are we going to do it? Right. Because this is a team effort, right? And that's the thing I want to talk to you a little bit about, because Have you ever heard the term or the saying, I guess, that Christianity is not a spectator sport? You ever heard that?
No.
Pastor Brian.
Yeah, I think he says that. Yeah, I got a story for later. I don't. It'd take forever. But yeah, I looked that up on the web, and it had Brian Hedges on the bottom. You see it if you look at the picture of this. I pulled it off the web, and I thought it was perfect for what we're doing, and I added some stuff to it for evangelism. But where is mine? But if you look at it, if you look at it, you see how it says Brian G. Hedges, right? And I saw that and I was reading it, and Brian had been talking about some of these things in the last few weeks. And I'm like, man, he's out there on the web. I'm like, Brian, you're out on the web, you know? Yeah, he's like, I said, and then I sent him the link and everything, and he's like, no, that's a pastor. He used to be in Texas, now he's in Wisconsin and blah, blah, blah. He's a good dude. And, you know, I'm like, wow, that is so wild, you know? But I wanted to share this with you and kind of tie it into what we're doing, because Christianity, evangelism, because that's what Christianity is all about. That's what keeps us going, right? That is what propagates the eternal life and of every believer, every son of God, right? So it's not a spectator sport. We need to all participate, in other words. And it's not an individual. That's where the fear comes in, when we think, oh, I've got to do this on my own. You don't. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, right? Yeah. He sent us out two by two this last. I was thinking of that. It was so perfect.
We weren't even planning it.
Right. No, we weren't. It was a divine appointment. And that's the thing. If we're willing and we're available, you can see things where God uses you, and it's just like an out-of-body experience. He takes over, and it's like the conversation is just so orchestrated. They answer the way, you know, and ask the questions, or you give the answers, or vice versa. You're conversing, and it's just like, it's unbelievable. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a divine appointment. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but that's what a divine appointment is. It's when God places you with another soul in time and space to give the gospel so that they can be born into eternity. It's the most amazing thing that God allows us to do. You know it? And the thing about it is, not only does it change their heart, but it changes our heart. More than anything, it changes our heart, because we begin to have God's heart, the blood of Christ, infused into us when we share the gospel. It changes us, right? But it's just like any sport. I mean, you know, I love sports, and I grew up with sports, and you know, that's cool, and we're probably all of us Chiefs fans or Royals fans, you know. But now we're Jesus fans, right? There's a whole new game in town, and it's the eternal game of sharing the gospel with other people. And I hope that doesn't sound like I'm detracting from, because I know there's a lot of idolatry that goes on, especially in Chief Kingdom and all of that. But you know what? And I used to get really excited over it, and I still do at times. You know, I won't lie.
Dear Lord, forgive me.
Yeah, dear Lord, forgive me. But I tell you what, it doesn't take precedence.
Hey.
It doesn't take precedence to what is going on right up in here, right? This is where the real party happens, because we're connected to the eternal amphitheater, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, right? So, anyway, I want to go over this with you real quick because it ties into the way of the master, and it says that Christianity is not a spectator sport, you know, where you just stand and cheer for your team. And I think I kind of alluded to that a little bit, but it's very important as we go out. It talks about engaging and identifying your enemy, because Christianity is like hand-to-hand combat, right? And so is sharing the gospel, right? It's like hand-to-hand combat that you get. And you've got to identify your enemy. Your enemy is not that person. In our flesh, when people reject us or they respond in a way that we don't know how to answer, that initially is like an enemy, right? You're opposing what I'm saying. And that's the thing about the way of the master, is because it uses it to disarm the enemy. It disarms the argument. Because how can you lie with, you know, what we just saw? How can you not admit that you're a liar? We've all lied, right? We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, when you walk through this and see this way, it totally just takes the fight out of it. And it gets your eyes on the real enemy behind the person. And who is that enemy? Satan, the devil, the world, their own worldview, the world that they've grown up into. They've been indoctrinated just like we have, right? That's why we need to have our minds transformed, right? So that's the thing. We see the real enemy, and that's why it's so important. We start with prayer, and we end in prayer. And prayer is the most important thing, like Stan was talking about. We're in a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. And that's why it's so important. We cannot fight without our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, right? That's what the book of Joshua is all about. Joshua means Jesus. And they won all of those battles in the Old Testament where God won it for them. And he made it clear. And we've got to see that. Whenever we go out, we have to pray. Not only pray for God to teach us and be with us through this training so we learn how to disarm the enemy, but we learn to overcome our fears and experience courage. You know, have God give us the courage to say the things we need to say. I was talking about that Friday night, that courage isn't the absence of fear, because we naturally think, oh, well, I'm afraid. I'm sure nobody else is afraid, right? Yeah. Is there anybody in here that's never been afraid to share your faith? Yeah, there's not anybody. We all have experienced that fear. It comes from the enemy, and it comes from our own flesh, right?
For 1 week, I wasn't afraid, and I shared and shared and shared, and then I had to stop. Then I was afraid.
Right.
Then...
Yeah.
That's correct. But I remember that 1 week right after I got saved, that I guess that's what I was saved there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then I was like really afraid.
Right.
I was thinking people were thinking I was crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
I am crazy, but
no. That's the battle. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to say.
Okay, but
it makes you pray more, right? Huh? And it makes you pray more. You have to pray for the courage. You have to trust in Christ. And that's the cool thing about it, because we've all experienced that too. Where you have courage, you share the God, and it goes great. Then you go out again, or maybe you don't do it for a while, and you don't think about it for a while, you don't train for a while, and you go out and you're like, I don't know what to say, you know?
I've been excited about coming today, and I guess I needed to be here today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all need to be here.
I know, but I mean, this is like perfect. Yeah.
Good. Good. I'm glad. No, that was perfect too. Because that's what a warfare is, right? there's advances on both fronts. There's this ebb and flow of power, and that's what we experience in evangelism. Or I say evangelism, I'm going to say sharing the gospel or sharing our testimony, because really it's just that simple. We make it a lot more complicated, but God uses that to infuse courage into our veins, and He uses it to humble us too, because really without Him we can't do anything, can we? Especially if we're going to, I mean, we're talking about saving a soul for eternity. You know, we can't do that. It's not possible. But we can open our mouth. We can learn some things to say and how to go about it. And Jesus has shown us the keys. Yeah, Rich?
I got the verse of the day on my Bible app.
Okay, cool.
It's kind of cool. It kind of fits what we're talking about, I think. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. The eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Oh, did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? What was that? The Psalm 16:11.
Yeah, 16:11.
It sounds like the Authorized Version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Stan.
If you, how many of you take multivitamins every morning? Most of us. How many ever took cod liver oil when you was a kid? Maybe I'm too old. I hated cod liver oil. This is before the era of multivitamins. My mother would stand at the door with eight of us kids when we'd get ready to go to school. She had a spoon there. And that stinking cod liver oil. The gospel is exactly like it. It is horrible going down for a lost person.
Yeah.
Your testimony being poured out in that spoon alive, shoved down your throat, is so horrible because it exposes your sin.
Right.
The multivitamins right. The same way. We don't like taking, I hate taking the time to dig out stinking vitamins Lisa's gave me. And I hate it. And I know if I don't, you know what, I've not been sick for, she's not in here, for a year and a half because she's got these stinking multivitamins. And I hate taking them. But you know what, Pat?
Yeah.
I haven't been sick. The gospel's the same way.
Yeah, it is.
See, the spirit and the flesh here, if you'll just take part of your life and look at it that way, you know what? I got to do this because it's good for, like you said earlier, me.
Yeah.
Much as it is for all persons.
Right. And you got to do it every day.
Every day.
It takes practice, you know. And that's the thing about Christianity. You know, we've got to do it every day. But we don't do it alone. Of course, we've got to do it God's way and do it with Him. He gives us the power. But again, it's we do it together. And we learn from each other. We share with each other. We pray with each other. And God intended it to be that way. That's why we're the church, the body of Christ. We're His body. We are His body to take the gospel to the world so that others might be saved. It's the most amazing thing. You know, I think it's really cool. I want to give God the praise for that. You know it? So we must be proactive. If you turn your sheets over, I'll try to just give you a quick breakdown of what this is going to be like in this training, basic training that we're going to go through. We must be proactive, and we must be committed to taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, like Paul urges in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 5. Does somebody want to read that? 2 Corinthians 10?
No, this is Dale Lively.
Yeah. It's a good one. Because this is the warfare that we're going through, right? When you intend to do this way of the Master, it's just like when you intend to do anything for God. Discipleship. You know what? There's a war. You just declared war on your enemy.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You want to read it? Yeah, read it.
4 5?
Yeah, 3, 4, and 5.
Oh, 3.
Yeah.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, thought to and captivity to the thought of obedience of Christ.
Wow. You see that? That's perfect for what the overall introduction of what we will learn to do in the way of the master. It goes straight to the conscience, and we use God's weapons, which God's weapons, we know the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, your testimony of what happened, but the Holy Spirit will work the situation and disarm them from those strongholds, right, that they've had. We've all had strongholds in our life, right? And you know what? Those strongholds don't want to hear anything about the gospel because they know Christ will tear them down. You know, he's tore them down in our lives, and maybe we still have some. And maybe we're not perfect. You know, that's the thing. If you wait to be perfect to share the gospel, you know what? I still wouldn't be sharing it. You know what? If I waited till I had it all together, I would never get it all together.
Didn't you talk about strongholds last week, or this Friday, or last Friday?
I think.
Or you guys did an interview, maybe?
Yeah. I think so.
Well, Satan works as first he creates, just like military, he creates a foothold, and then, you know, that's where he barely gets in there with a little sin or whatever, and then he creates a stronghold, which means you get used to sinning, and you keep sinning, and then he creates a chokehold, and that's death. And what we use is our spiritual warfare, you know, like our testimonies, which is a tool. And
Amen.
That's like our airstrike on that stronghold.
That's it. Yeah. That's what it is. It's air support. Sign prayer. That's exactly. Good job, Kevin. So, prayer. It's air support. And the first thing that I saw, these basically five P's, is prayer, right? We open in prayer and we close in prayer. We should do everything every day. We need to pray, and we're going to do that here in a minute. We pray for those that God wants to lead us to, because he does orchestrate divine appointments. He wants you, each one of you, he's got someone, or maybe many people, picked out in time that he wants you to go and meet with them and give them the gospel so that they can be saved. You know that? It's true. We just don't think about it, and maybe we don't pray about it. We need to pray for those divine appointments and for those open doors. So that's what we'll do in every lesson. Every week we'll pray to open and close, and we'll pray that God will change our hearts to be like his, like I shared in Psalm 37:4 at the beginning, that God would change our hearts so that we could delight ourselves in him, and he would give us the desires of our heart, because our heart's been changed. And all of a sudden, God's desires become our desires. When we practice and we train in missions and discipleship, and especially in evangelism now, God's equipping us to make us complete so that we are prepared, right? And he changes our heart in the process. So we also pray for those that God would like for us to reach, divine appointments. I already said that. Number two, we need to prepare. That's what we'll be doing every week. But we won't just be preparing here. You'll do it at home, because there are some exercises. I want you to read through the introduction and read through chapter one this week. Can you do that? Read through chapter one, and don't only read through it, do the exercises, because the exercises is what changes your heart and helps you to become more like Christ and get the vision of what we do and why we do it in evangelism. Okay? So we prepare. Learn the way of the Master by committing to committing your heart to change every week. And then the third thing is plan, right? We do the work of evangelism, like Paul said to Timothy, right? Do the work of an evangelism. That sounds pretty intense, but you know what? We're just sharing. We're just sharing the gospel. And what is the work? It's praying, preparing, planning, and then practicing, right? So we practice and we apply what we learned every week, and also we'll apply what we learn as a group on special outreaches. That's the other thing. We're preparing this for things that we can do with our church or on our own to go out and share the gospel, like taking it to the streets, like the harvest party, like special, gosh, I just slipped my mind. I had a couple others. But yeah, they're not having that this year, but things like that, right?
There's actually a little fair right there by Fresh Chopper.
Wow. Well, maybe we'll do that.
I think it ends today.
Maybe we'll do that. We're talking about, doing some signs and going out to the truck stop and things like that. But we'll do it, and we can do it together. And we can learn from each other. And you know what? God will use all of that, and it'll change your heart in the process, right? So we'll practice. Go through the exercises in lesson one, and make sure you allow God to speak to you. Meditate on it. Think about it, and especially all throughout this process over the next 3 months, allow God to change your heart in submitting to the overall process, and He will do it. And I'm telling you, it will revolutionize our life and our walk with Christ, right? And then just be willing to commit and break out of your, I put, Ray comfort zone, right? Break out of your comfort zone, because that's part of the lesson too. Every week, every lesson, and do the weekly assignments and learn them to apply them to your everyday life. You know, practice them. We'll learn to do it on our own. I tell you what, COVID was one of the greatest things that happened to me, because I realized I share the gospel at times, you know, or maybe when I feel like it, or when I see somebody maybe I like, or that they like me, or I think they're like, it's just God wants us to share it with everybody.
Yeah.
Right? So then we end in prayer. We close in prayer. So let's do that right now. And let's pray for this process and pray that God would change our hearts so that we can see Him and do an amazing thing. Because I want to tell you, I think you all are pretty spiritually in tune that we're in those last days. We're in perilous times right now, and the Lord could come back at any time. And we want to be watching and looking by doing the things that He's called us to do. And we want to have our heart right, right? So let's pray, and then we'll close. And I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about our group and our class. And I'm excited about the opportunity to be able to share the gospel together with you all. So thank you very much. Father, I just want to come to you right now, Lord. Sharing the gospel and thinking of a word like evangelist or evangelism can be a scary thing to most of us, all of us, because we are so incomplete, and we're incomplete without you. But the more that we do the impossible things that you've called us to do, the more that we see there's nothing to fear. Just like you told us in your word, in the gospel, when you were here and you walked with the disciples, that in the world we're going to have tribulation. But we can be of good cheer because you have overcome the world, Lord. And you want to show us how you can overcome our fears also. The fears of what we might experience in the world or what we might encounter. Lord, just be with us to do this process of basic training little by little, day by day, every day. And most of all, Lord, I pray that you would begin to change our hearts in a way that we just experience you to the fullest that you intended for us in salvation. We love you and we thank you so much, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and we do these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.